Did you know Japan's mountain ascetic religion combines many religious elements, such as Buddhism and Shinto? Would you be keen to find out how it has developed and been maintained in the Japanese history? Would you like to know what is a training like? If so, you'd enjoy listening to this episode. My name is Miyuki Seguchi. It is my great pleasure to have you here. A bit about myself, I was born and grew up in a rural area of Japan, educated in the UK, and became a journalist and a licensed guide. Following my passion, I have launched this podcast. Through conversations with real experts in Japanese culture and traditions, I am passionate about discovering the many wonders of Japan and sharing authentic stories with you all. I hope this would open the door to your next adventure. Today, and for the following episode, we will explore the wonders of sacred mountains located in the northeastern region of Japan. Dewasanzan refers to three mountains in Yamagata Prefecture, which was a part of the old Dewa Province. These mountains, namely Mount Haguro, Mount Gassan, and Mount Yudono, are one of Japan's major training centers for mountain ascetic religion, Shugendo. To discuss more, I have spoken to Tim Banding, who has lived in Yamagata Prefecture for more than 10 years. He is a Yamabushi, a follower officially certified by the Haguro sect of Shugendo. Let me start by asking questions about Shugendo. Many people might be familiar with Buddhism or Shinto as a religion widely practiced in Japan, but maybe not so much with Shugendo. So how would you explain it?
Shugendo is a combination of Buddhism and Shintoism. So Shintoism and Buddhism were very similar, and they started actually being worshipped together, like in the same place. So Buddhism and Shintoism are able to be worshipped together because of a concept called Honji Suijaku. And Honji Suijaku is, they call it the original ground, and Suijaku is a trace. And the original ground refers to a Buddhist deity from India that came to Japan to provide salvation to the Japanese people. And the Suijaku, the trace, is the manifestation, the Shinto manifestation of this Buddhist god. So you have a Buddhist god that comes from India to save the Japanese people, and they have a Shinto version of that. And this Honji Suijaku put together meant that, so Buddhism and Shintoism was able to be worshipped together, okay? And from this Honji Suijaku, you have what's called a gongen, which in English we call it avatar. And an avatar is like a Shugendo god. So it's, at the same time, it's Buddhist and Shinto. From this amalgamated belief of Shintoism and Buddhism, you get Shugendo.
I see.
And so they are represented by these gongen avatar. Yeah.
I see. Shugendo has many elements, many religious elements.
Yes.
Could you explain a bit more on this?
Sure. So there was a famous ascetic called Enno Gyoja. In English, we call him Enno Gyoja, or En the ascetic. And he combined the elements of Shintoism, Buddhism, but also Taoism from China, obviously. And then, and he made a doctrine. He made doctrines of these beliefs. So he made them into like an official way, or a thing that people could follow as Shugenja. So they are followers of Shugendo. And then in the 9th century, Shingon and Tendai Buddhism were esoteric Buddhism. So Mikkyo in Japanese, esoteric Buddhism was brought to Japan by Saicho and Kukai, who brought Tendai and Shingon Buddhism, respectively. And in esoteric Buddhism, so esoteric Buddhism was felt to be very similar to Shugendo. And so they started practicing Shugendo through Tendai or Shingon temples. Okay, so there's elements of Shintoism, Buddhism, animism, which is the prehistoric worship of nature in Japan, and now esoteric Buddhism. These are all combined into what we now know as Shugendo.
Great. How is Shugendo different from other religions?
Okay. Oh, that's a good question. well, it's Shugendo, actually, it's not officially recognized as a religion.
Okay,
so because it copies the doctrines of Buddhism and Shintoism. So you have to have your own original doctrine to be considered a religion. So officially, Shugendo is not a religion. And Shugendo is a Shugendo. Do is Michi, right? So it's like Kendo, Judo, Aikido, right? So it's not classified as a religion. It's more classified as a way, or like a way of living. Well, for us, it means every once in a while we go into the mountains to train. We go, it doesn't have to be mountains. We go into nature to train. And that's, it's, I would say, well, there are less practical elements of this training, but I would say Shugendo is extremely practical, because you actually have to physically go out into nature to be able to learn. Because in Shugendo, we believe that nature holds all the secrets of life. And so by going out into nature, we can absorb these secrets. We don't learn it from a book. We don't learn it from hearing stories or anything. We actually physically go into the mountains and we absorb the teachings of nature. Do you know what a mandala is? The Buddhist mandala. Yeah, it's like a tapestry. So a big, like a woven picture that they hang. You would have seen it before. But it's believed that these mandalas, it's kind of like a maze. It's believed that these mandalas are projected onto the mountain. And mandalas represent the teachings of Buddha. And so if you walk on the mountain, it's like you absorb Buddha's teachings. Rather than someone telling you, rather than reading it in a book, you actually physically embody the teachings of Buddha. That's where it originates.
I see.
Okay. Yeah.
So could you maybe explain the Shugendo in relation to the Dewa Sanzan?
Sure. So Shugendo was spread all over Japan thanks to Enno Gyoja. And for the Dewa Sanzan, so on the Dewa Sanzan, for at least 1500 years, there has been some form of Shugendo. As I said, so Shugendo was practiced in both Tendai and Shingon temples. Basically, so Mount Haguro was a Shingon Buddhism. So a lot of the temples there were Shingon. Mount Yudono was also Shingon. And Mount Gassan was Shizen Suihai. So Mount Gassan was nature worship. And then in the 1630s, it was either 1630s or 1640s, Mount Haguro switched from Shingon Buddhism to Tendai Buddhism. I think this was politically motivated, because it definitely was because of the Tokugawa Shogun. The Tokugawa Shogun, they provided a lot of financial benefits to Mount Haguro for switching to Tendai Buddhism. The Tokugawa shogunate were practitioners of Tendai Buddhism. And so Mount Hagoda switched to Tendai Buddhism in the 1630s. But Mount Yudono stayed Shingon. So Shugendo was practiced on both mountains. And then in the 1860s, in 1868, so Japan enacted Shinbutsu Bunri, Haibutsu Kishaku, where it was the government decided that Buddhism did not uphold native Japanese values. And so they tried to get rid of Buddhism throughout Japan. And at that time, the Dewa Sansan changed to Mount Hagoda, Mount Gassan, and Mount Yudono officially. And then Mount Yudono, Mount Gassan, and Mount Hagoda switched to Shintoism to avoid the anti-Buddhist sentiment. And at that, so up until then, sorry, there were Buddhist monks living on Mount Hagoda, but they had to denounce their Buddhist worship, and they switched to Shinto, or they stopped being a monk altogether. And so Shugendo was practiced through officially. So there are four main rituals on the Dewa Sansan. So we have the Fuyu no Miniri, Haru no Miniri, Natsu no Miniri, and Aki no Miniri. So we call them the peak rituals, one for each season. And the most famous example is the autumn peak, Aki no Miniri, which takes place in August. And up until 1868, so Shugendo was practiced with this Aki no Miniri ritual, in which the participants, so now it's a week-long training, but in the past it was more than 100 days. So participants, Yamabushi, they spend a week training in the mountains. And so it was Buddhist up until 1868. And then because they tried to get rid of Buddhism, the Buddhists, they went into hiding. They practiced, I'm pretty sure they practiced in secret. And so Dewa Sansan, Mount Hagoda switched to Shintoism. And this Shugendo practice was extremely, extremely, what would you say? The townspeople, the people who lived in this region, really wanted this Shugendo ritual to continue, but they couldn't because the mountains switched from Buddhism to Shintoism. And so the townspeople asked Dewa Sansan Shrine, well, they petitioned Dewa Sansan Shrine. They said, we want to continue the Aki no Miniri autumn peak ritual. And so the Dewa Sansan Shrine made a Shinto version of the Buddhist Aki no Miniri ritual. And so the ritual split into two. So you've got Shinto and then Buddhist. And that's, and so this Shinto version has been continuing until now. And that's the version that I joined. The Shinto version is only for men.
Okay.
So in the Shinto version, yeah, it's about 150 men. And then the Buddhist version trained in secret until after the Second World War, when freedom to practice any religion was reintroduced into Japan. And so now we have two main types of Yamabushi, Shinto Yamabushi and Buddhist Yamabushi.
I see.
So Shugendo is still practiced on the Dewa Sansan in the Shinto way and a Buddhist way.
How is it still practiced in modern day Japan?
Right. So Shugendo is still practiced very much here on the Dewa Sansan, but also in Omine, in Nara Prefecture, on the Kumano Kodo. So, but it's still Shugendo, but we have there are subtle differences. On the Dewa Sansan, we still practice Shugendo. So I mentioned the four autumn peak rituals. They still take place. So the spring peak ritual and the summer peak ritual have changed shapes. So the spring peak ritual, they didn't practice it for 150 years until 2 years ago, and they started practicing the Haru no Mini, the spring ritual again, and the Natsu no Mini, the summer peak ritual, is a Dewa Sansan flower festival on the 15th of July each year. That's what happened to those two. And right now we have the Fuyu no Mini, which is winter peak ritual. This is actually quite interesting. It's a 100-day training undertaken by two senior Yamabushi, which they call Matsu Hijiri. Matsu is pine, I think, and Hijiri is sacred. And the Fuyu no Mini is, if you get a chance to come to the Dewa Sansan, you should try to come on December 31st, because this is the last day of 100 days of training for these two Yamabushi, and they have a festival called the Shoreisai, and it's really cool. It's a burning, they burn these giant mounds of straw and have a race. It's a competition. It's really cool. And then the Autumn Peak Ritual is a week-long training that takes place every year for the Buddhists, it's from the 25th of August, and for the Shintoists, it's from the 26th of August. So we have two Aki no Mini rituals that are still practiced every year. And I've done the Shinto version twice.
Could you explain a bit more on the Autumn Peak Ritual?
So the Autumn Peak Ritual is anyone can do, basically. Yeah, so we spend a week on the mountain. We live, I can't tell you too much about it, but we live on the mountains for a week. It's based on the 10 realms of Buddhism. In Japanese, call them Kai, Chukkaigyo. That's what the training's based on. And we do a number of rituals that represent each of these 10 realms.
Sorry,
Kaigyo? Jukkaigyo. 10 realms. Kai is Sekai no Kai.
Okay.
Jukkaigyo. Yeah, gyo means training.
Okay. So what do they do?
I can't tell you. I can't tell you, but I'll tell you what I can tell you. Okay. So we are sworn to secrecy. We have to swear an oath. We aren't allowed to tell the details of the training. And so we spend a lot of time, we walk on the mountains and we visit gods. We visit Kami, or in the Buddhist version, they would visit the Buddha. And we go and we pray to these shrines all over the mountain. So it could be like a special rock or a special, a tree or like a river or waterfall. We go to these places and we pray. And also the whole mountain itself, so Mount Gasan or Mount Hagoro itself, is considered a god as well. So we go and we pray to these gods. We walk around. Sometimes we run. And we spend time indoors doing a lot of chanting and worshipping to these gods as well. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but there's a list of 1,000 gods, and during the week-long training, we pray to each one. Some of them we physically go to, but most of them we don't. And then another part of Yamabushi training that is famous, or that people seem to enjoy, is waterfall training. So we stand underneath the waterfall and we chant. So I've done that at least 20 times. It's really tough, really hard. So my master says, like, if you can become one with the waterfall, it makes it much easier. Or like, you can just stay there. So my master, he can stay there for 5 minutes under a waterfall. It's insane. What else? There's also, so people can find this if they look. And so that's why I'm going to say it, but normally we don't say this, but there is a training. It's called the smoky room training. In Japanese, it's called Nanban Ibushi. So Ibusu means to smoke. And Nanban is just the name, which if you're interested, it means barbarian in English. But we sit in this room full of smoke and we have to endure. And yeah, that's about all I can tell you. Yeah, a lot of it is walking in the mountains.
I see. And I also heard the eating is a part of training.
Yeah.
Could you explain, eating
is a very, very important part of our training. It's one of the most important parts. I don't know how much I'm allowed to explain. I think it's okay. So I've gone to events where I've explained this before. So when Yamabushi train, so I mentioned there are 10 Buddhist realms, so Jukkaigyo, and one of those kai is one of those realms is the Gaki Gyo, and a Gaki is a hungry ghost. And the concept is that if you were starved, if you couldn't eat for a week, and then someone just placed food in front of you, how would you eat it? Okay, if you hadn't eaten for a week, you would gobble it really fast, right? And so that's what we do. So during the training, when we have meals, because we don't always have meals, we have to eat it as fast as possible. And this is so that we can receive the energy that we need to survive, so we can concentrate on our training. And generally the food is very sparse. So we have, it's some rice, some miso soup, and some pickles. And that's it normally.
What are the Shugendo followers trying to achieve through this training?
Yes, very good question. So traditionally, the training was to reach Buddhahood, to become a Buddha, to become enlightened. That's what the Sokushinbutsu, the mummified monks, that's their aim. They wanted to leave a trace of Buddhahood in the current world, in the physical world. If you ask any Yamabushi, they would all give you a different answer to this question. So it depends on the person. For me, there's a lot of like personal things that I'm going through. Like for example, my dad died four years ago, and that's always been tough. There are other personal things that I'm going through. And so for me, it's a way to ground myself. So going out into nature, and then it helps you to feel alive. And for me, it also helps me appreciate what I have. And then through that appreciation, I feel ikigai, or a reason to live. So for me, Yamabushi training is something I cannot live without. I love it. It's really good. But I think other people would say they want, for example, clarity. They are at a junction and they don't know, should I go left, should I go right? They don't know. And so they spend time out in nature, and that helps give them time to remember what is really important in their lives.
Today's Japan expert was Tim Banting. Apart from being a Yamabushi, he works on many projects to promote the regional culture and history around the Dewa Sanzan. More information can be found on his website and social media accounts. You can find these links in the show notes. In the next episode, we will continue to explore the wonders of Dewa Sanzan. So please stay tuned and hope to have you again in 2 weeks. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to reach out via Japan Expert social media accounts, and thank you always for your support.